Hello, welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson Healing Rebel podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It has been so long since I was last doing a podcast. I don't even remember when the last time was. Could have been more than a year ago. Could have been 18 months ago. I was very unwell in 2022. So doing a podcast was the furthest thing from my mind. And I thought, I've been thinking for since January, actually, this is July, that I wanted to bring the podcast back because it's something that I really enjoy doing, something that I love doing. But I don't know who I want to have on as guests. There are so many people that I want to have on. And there's something stopping me right now from reaching out to those people. But I think there are things I want to say myself. Before I start inviting guests on, I want to share some of my knowledge, some of my wisdom, because it's very selfish of me. This is my podcast. So before we get into the podcast properly, if you could subscribe on whatever platform that you are listening to this and share with anybody that you think might find this information useful or relevant, I would appreciate that so much. I will send gratitude to the hills and back to you. These small things that you can do are what helps small podcasts, small businesses like myself be able to grow in this stratosphere when there are so much content out there. It's when other people recommend and other people share that that's when people start to listen and start to hear the things that we have to say. If this is the first time that you have ever tuned into my podcast, welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson podcast. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back and thank you so much for your patience in this long break that I've had. For people who are brand new, I will give you a quick rundown of where I'm at in the world and my business just now. 2017, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and that's been an up and down bumpy journey. In April 2023, I was also told that I had endometriosis, and that came about from me being admitted to hospital last year in 22, and after I had emergency explorative surgery. I didn't actually have any cuts made. From that, I was then had a follow-up MRI. That MRI wasn't looking at my uterus, it was looking at my rectum, but in that imagery, they saw on my uterus that there was some scarring there that was indicative of endometriosis, which felt like it was giving me some answers to some questions, because there was lots of stuff going on in my body that didn't feel like it was just Crohn's. Anyway, turns out I have a cyst on each ovary and endometriosis. Had an ultrasound that confirmed that. Still waiting to see gynecology. But one of the things that I, for the last 7 years, have been doing is not waiting for the health service to put me on more medications or other medications. In one of my very first appointments with the consultant, I was told, and this is no fault of their own, this is the system, this is the education for healthcare. I was told that what I ate didn't make any difference to my health. And at the time, even when I was in the pits of ill health, I thought, this person doesn't have a fucking clue what they're talking about, because everything that goes into your body body has an impact on your body. And I've been up and down on a roller coaster with my emotions around that. Felt a lot of anger, frustration, felt a lot of disappointment that how can the health service that we rate so highly not know that nutrition is so important to our health. Through therapy, I have learned that their education's different, and my expectations of people are all a lot higher than what other people deliver. And learning how to come into acceptance of that has been really, really valuable. And I have a friend and client who is a consultant in the hospital. And one of the things that they have told me is nutrition isn't part of their education. It's an option that they, if it's an interest with them, they can go on and do some more and learn more. And there is a tiny, tiny percentage of doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals that do take that on and go into it. So that means that for a lot of people, they are being told there's nothing you can do. And I'm going to call bullshit on that, because there's lots of things that we can do. And that's what the Healing Rebel is all about, is what can you do to look after you? This shouldn't be a rebellious act. This should be a common sense act. But that's the world that we're living in. And it is an act of rebellion to go, I'm going to take back some control. I'm going to take back some power. I'm going to do what I can to help me heal on this journey. In addition to that, and I'm going to get the, go to the appointments, I'm going to get the blood tests done, I'm going to take on all that information that they're taking, the health service, but I'm also going to take that information and use it to my own benefit. I'm going to add into that, I'm going to do what I can to look after my own health. And that doesn't mean I'm not looking through this through rose-tinted glasses, that you're going to cure yourself, because as far as we know, some conditions are not curable. Question mark, question mark, question mark. But we can heal. And this was something, again, that I had to learn on my journey, the difference between cure and the difference between heal. Even living with a health condition, you can heal. You can be as well as you can and work with and manage your symptoms as best you can. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to live completely symptom-free forever, but it means that you will have the tools to take control for yourself. And I want that to be a sense of optimism. The last 18 months have been all over the place for me. I have been in the pits of hell where I couldn't even stand up, because I was in so much pain. I was having to be taken to the toilet. I was having to be lifted into the shower and washed, and then lifted out the shower, dried and dressed. That in itself was, what is the word? Dehumanizing's coming to mind, but I don't know that that's right. It was just so disempowering. And I felt so ashamed. But also very grateful that I have a partner who just steps up and does that, that helps me where he can, and that I have people around me that can take me to doctor, emergency doctor's appointments and help me lift and lay me basically while I need that help. So I am eternally grateful for all those people that I have in my life. I'm going to circle back to food. I went off on a bit of a tangent there. I was going to apologise, but that's just who I am. I get a thought in my mind and the train sometimes goes to another station. So food is so important. And I have been learning, and on this podcast previously, I've had Janice from Nourished by Nature, who is a wealth of information about gut health and gut microbiome. And that, you know, Janice was on my podcast quite a few years ago now. And I was like, I was still in denial about how powerful fermented foods could be. Wasn't that I was in denial, I just was like, I'll try a wee bits of it. And I'm very much the person who, if I don't get an instant, wow, this was amazing, I want results yesterday because I'm impatient. Because I wasn't getting the results super, super fast, or I would get results, start to feel better, and then lose the habits that I had taken on and start to slip back into old ways. And maybe if you are somebody who's been on a weight loss journey or some other kind of maybe health journey, you maybe recognise that pattern of you follow the rules until you get to a point, and then you go back to your old ways, and then you have to get back on the train, and it's a cycle. You go round and round, and you're thinking, why can I not get off this? This most recent cycle for me I had to go back on medication, which I wasn't happy about, but I have to weigh up the balance of, do I want to not be able to walk and have lost all this weight and potentially die, because if I don't get better, that's the path I'm on. Or do I suck it up, take the medication until I feel really confident that I am on this new phase, that I'm not just doing it to get better so that I can drop, so that these habits are now what's real for me, what is definite for me. And that might mean that I have to be on the medication a little bit longer than I would like to be, because I had a call with a doctor on Monday and they confirmed that my inflammation markers were now were under 30, which is exactly where a healthy bowel should be. And I'm like, yes, we have got there. What a battle. What a journey. Don't, let's not use battle. Battle's not a good word. That's a fight. Don't want to be in fight, because fight means that we are in the wrong part of our nervous system. What a journey. Look where I've got to. Look at the changes I've made. Okay, now how do I make this sustainable for me? How do I keep going with this? So things that I have changed after having been vegetarian / vegan for 20 plus years, I started to introduce fish initially. And then more recently, I've started to introduce some red meat. Now, when I have a portion of fish, it's a fillet of fish, a fillet of salmon. That's my favourite at the moment. When I have meat, I'll maybe get, say, a burger and have half a burger. It's not like a big part of my meal, just a small part. And the reason that I started doing that was I tuned in and listened to my body. I was like, body, what do you need? And I know that fish oils are really, really important. It's probably one of the most researched supplements, fish oil supplements, about the potential benefits. Problem with supplements is they vary in quality. You can get fish oil and it can go rancid really easily. So by the time it's in the capsule, you're just taking a rancid oil that's not going to have any benefit at all. To minimise that risk, you're looking at very expensive capsules and that comes with a financial burden. So can I just eat some fish? What would my DNA ancestors have consumed? Because this was something that I'd listened to an audiobook, and it was from a couple of evolutionary biologists, and they were talking about understanding your DNA. So I did the ancestry DNA test many years ago before I realized that it sold all your data on, allegedly. I am 51% Scottish, 49% Irish from the north, northeast, northwest, north central coast. When I look back in the history, a big part of diet for west coast of Scotland, north of Ireland, is fish. So that seed was planted in my mind. It then took about another year for me to go, I think I need to actually eat fish. I think I need to try it. And then it would be once in a blue moon. And then gradually I started craving fish. And now I eat it probably 3 or 4 times a week. So it's like a staple in my diet. But it was very much, what does my body need? Now, Janice, who I spoke about earlier, she got to a particular point in her life and was tuning into her body. What does she need? And she went plant-based. She is predominantly vegetarian, vegan. Sometimes she has told me that she sometimes will have fish and chips if she's at the seaside and she fancies it. She's not super strict with it, but she is much more plant-based because that's what's right for her. So I'm not here to tell you that if you're vegan, you need to start eating meat, or if you eat meat, you have to become vegan. You have to do what's right for your body. And if you can get some data and some information about your ancestral line, that can maybe give you an insight to what foods could be good and what foods might not be so good for your body. So yeah, my diet has very much become about nourishing my body. What can I do to nourish myself? And that's where fish and the meat come in. And then I was at the SOLAS Festival in June, and there was a GP there that was doing a talk on microbiome And she has a podcast, which is called The Microbiome Medics. Now, it's been done for doctors because they're reviewing research, but it is delivered in a very accessible way. So even if you're not medically trained or medically interested, these podcasts, the way they're done, are excellent. They're very, very accessible. So if you have questions about gut microbiome, obviously check Janice out. Go back to my previous podcast. I think there's two podcasts with Janice on here. Excuse me. You could also look up the medical microbiome medics. Their podcast is really a really easy listen, but one of the podcasts on there really stood out for me. And it was talking about whether or not a fibre-rich diet was enough to be supportive to your gut microbiome to create enough diversity, or did you need fermented foods? Now, I'm going to probably butcher this a little bit because I don't have the study in front of me. I'm doing this from memory from listening to that podcast, and I'm going to give you the highlights. So if you want specific information, do go back and listen. The highlights of it: there's been a lot of talk in the media about eating fibre-rich diets, removing ultra-processed, and I'll talk about what that ultra-processed means in a moment. But having this 30 different sources of fibre in your diet every week, it's 30 different sources that can be different herbs, different spices, nuts and seeds, as well as your fruit and vegetables. So it's actually really easy to get 30 different sources if you use herbs and spices and a variety of nuts and seeds. Super easy. And then a variety of berries or whatever is local fruit to you and whatever's in season. I think seasonal is also really important. And the other people in the group of this study, so one group was doing the 30 sources of fibre, the other group were keeping their diet exactly the same, but they were adding in fermented foods, not changing anything else. When they then looked at the microbiome profile of each of these groups, the group that had the best success, I'm going to do a spoiler alert here, the group that had the best success was the group that had only added in fermented foods. And I think it was six. I think the number that they said was six fermented foods. Now, I need to go to the study to get more specific information or go back and listen again to see if they give this. What I can't remember is, was it six portions or was it six different varieties? What I've been doing more recently is trying to bring in six different varieties of fermented foods. So fermented foods are things like yogurt. So natural yogurt is already a fermented food. I've been adding into that milk kefir. So kefir is fermented milk. You get kefir grains, you put them in some milk, you leave them 24 hours. They eat all the sugars from the milk, the lactose, break that down, and then you're left with this soury tasting milk. I mix that in with my yogurt just to make it taste better, and then put in my fruit and my berries, my nuts, my seeds, my homemade granola, put all that in, and then, so I've got that, that's already my two ferments. I then have kombucha, which I love, which is a fermented tea, so that's a nice drink, super refreshing, supports the detoxification system, as well as helping feed good microbes in your body. And then I have made kimchi. So that's a quick and easy ferment. And I've made two different sauerkrauts. So one with cabbage and apple and then a bunch of herbs in it. And the other one is carrot and ginger and a bunch of herbs. Made them up. I'm starting to put these recipes out on my blog. So if you go to iamjenilson.com/blog, you will be able to get the recipes. And I've started adding them in, and I've only been adding them in now for maybe a week at recording, which is, I think this is the 19th of July. So not long, and I'm already starting to notice an improvement in my gut health. Even though my inflammation markers were already down in a good place, the quality of my bowel movements was not good. But starting to add in these fermenting things is definitely making an improvement, definitely making a change. Now, If you are thinking about adding in some fermented foods, go slowly with it. If you have never consumed any of them, do one at a time and start with a tablespoon at a time. Don't go for a full-on cup, because if you go too much too quickly, you will have a clearing and have an event go on, because the gut microbes that are maybe already in abundance might not be the best ones for you. They might be the ones that are making you crave chocolate or crave crisps or crave breads or crave alcohol or whatever it is that you're craving. Those microbes are going to be fighting for their lives as you start throwing in the good microbes that are going to help with things like reducing inflammation, helping digest your food, helping transfer the minerals into things that your body can use and absorb. So nutrition, to say what you eat doesn't matter, is a big stinking lie. And they might not know that they're lying when they say that. It's misinformation. That's what we'll call it. That's a buzzword. Misinformation. But what you eat is super important. Now, wherever you are on your nutritional journey, when you make changes, my suggestion, and this is a suggestion that has evolved over time, is don't go in for a full overhaul. Don't start cutting out whole food groups, but start adding in little bits of fermented foods and fibre, because the fibre feeds the ferments. Fibre feeds the bacteria, sorry, in your gut. The ferments help put them there, the fibre helps feed them. You will naturally, over time, as you start adding in and start listening to your body and asking it what it needs, you will, over time, start to want other things less. And it's a strange experience, because I loved crisps. I could have eaten crisps for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and not batted an eyelid and gone, oh well, that's what I'm eating today, and so what. I used to love the maize puffy crisps, like Space Raiders and Monster Munch and Wotsits and Quavers and all those ones. And I had a packet, I went and bought a packet recently, and I ate one, and I was like, oh, I don't like the taste of that. So your taste buds will change. But that happens by me adding stuff in rather than trying to deprive myself and take things out. When we are depriving ourselves straight away, the brain's looking for stuff, the brain's looking for different things. As soon as you say, I'm not allowed, all you ever want is. That's what you start craving. Now, I'm just going to caveat this with, I have not completely removed crisps from my diet, but I've changed the crisps that I eat. I now am not gorging on crisps, and I am being more selective about the ones that I choose. My favourite ones are Mackies. They've got a lovely crunch to them. And when you look at the ingredients list, particularly of their ready salted ones, the only thing that's in them is potato, the oil and the salt. That's all that's in them. That's a really small list. Oh, that reminds me to come back to ultra processed foods. When you look at some of the other ingredients, there'll be a whole lot of stuff in there that you don't even know what it is. And that's where the body doesn't know what it is. You don't know what it is, the body doesn't know what it is. So how is it made to process it? Then that then kicks into your lymphatic system. That's then having to work with other systems in your body to detoxify that. So it's then putting pressure on your liver, pressure on your kidneys, pressure on your lymphatic system, giving it extra work. So we can do things to help support that. So then we can do that through our food. Right, ultra processed foods. Some people are really confused about what, oh, I shouldn't eat any processed foods. So we've got whole foods, which is anything that has grown in the ground or eats that food that's been grown in the ground. So your steaks, your chicken, your cows, your chickens, your lamb, your fish, your vegetables, your fruit, any of that is considered whole food. Now, processed food is where it goes through a processing. So for example, your cow becomes a steak. That's partly processed food. Then that steak maybe becomes stew, maybe becomes mince, maybe becomes a burger. That chain there is making it more processed. Now the burger, you need to look at the ingredients list to see whether or not it's ultra processed or not. So if you look at that ingredients list and go, I don't know what, I can't even think of any of the chemical names because most of them I can't say them. But if you're looking at that thinking, I couldn't go into my kitchen and make that by myself, I would need to get a lab involved. I would need to get a chemist to make me up these chemicals that put in my food. That then is ultra processed food. We have a potato. I'm holding this like I've actually got a potato in my hands. You have a potato. That's a potato. That's a whole food. Buy it in a bag, a bag of frozen, all chopped up with coconut oil. That's your chips. That's processed. You get it in a bag where it's been dehydrated. There maybe are more than one different type of oil. There are flavourings which vary in a range of, sometimes it's salt, sugar, paprika, whatever. But if you're looking at it, you're like, some of these things, I don't know what they are. Some of these things are not actual whole things that I can ground up and make myself. That's where you get ultra processed. And then when you go to your Monster Munch, your Space Raiders, those puffy maize crisps, they are ultra processed. You have peanuts. Peanuts in the shell, whole foods. Crack the shell, still whole foods. You roast them, you salt them. Starting to process. You get it, mash them up, grind them up, and maybe add a wee bit of salt. That's still a process. That's your peanut butter. You start adding in sugar. You start adding in oils. You start adding in other chemicals that maybe preserve the life of it. You don't need to, because once you've ground up peanuts, they produce their own oil and put a wee bit of salt in and preserve them themselves. That then, if you get your, don't want to name brands here, but Sunfat, that's your ultra processed. So there's everything has a variation of what it is. So if your packet comes with an ingredients list, you're going to look at the ingredients list and go, I could go to the kitchen, I could go and buy these ingredients and make this, but for convenience I'm going to take it processed because that's easier on life. And then pasta is a good example. So pasta should be flour and water mashed up and then dehydrated to be in a packet, unless you're buying fresh pasta. Sometimes fresh pasta has egg added to it. There shouldn't be much else in your pasta if you're looking at the ingredients list and there's lots of stuff in it. Go and find the one that has less ingredients. So yeah, that is how we define ultra processed foods. We want to eliminate as much as possible these ones over here that have the ingredients list, ingredients that we do not know. When predominance of your diet is whole foods or processed for convenience, occasionally you can drop in some ultra processed, maybe you like HP Brown sauce or tomato ketchup. And if you've just got a little bit on your plate and everything else is whole food, your body's going to be able to deal with that, process it. If that is not the case, then your body's going to really struggle. So listening to your body is vital. Now I'm going to jump back into my personal story a little bit. When I was really unwell, bowel was inflamed, had an infection in my rectum, my skin was inflamed, I was dealing with a lot of inflammation. In that time, I tried to do some juicing. Somebody else obviously had to do it for me because I couldn't do anything. I tried to do some juicing, my body was just couldn't cope with it, it was too much. So in that state for me, I had to go to really simple foods. So I was eating sugary foods. I was eating ultra-processed foods, things that were really simple sugars that my body could break down with ease. And that was because my whole gut microbiome had been obliterated by the antibiotics I had been on. There was huge amounts of inflammation, so my body wasn't able to do all the mashing up, to breaking down, to doing all this wonderful chemical process inside. It needed really simple foods that it could easily break down to get energy first. The pain I was in, I'd lost a lot. I lost over 20 kilos. I was sitting at 51 kilos at my latest. The priority for my body to start to be able to heal at that point was simple sugars, you know, cream crackers with butter, a biscuit, like really, really. And in my mind, I was going, oh my God, I'm eating this really bad food, blah, blah, blah. That chat, internal chatter wasn't helpful. But when I realised, you know, my body needs energy first. Once it's got energy, then we can start putting the nutrients in. So it felt like a really slow process. But it was a gradual, right, let's get some energy. Okay, let's try a little bit of vegetable. And it was vegetable soup, so my body wasn't having to break it down. Let's try a wee bit of juice, like juicing juice, not smoothie. Because again, I didn't want the fibre there. When you've got bowel inflammation, fibre can actually be more aggravating than beneficial. So for people with IBD, that journey can be more challenging because you know the things that you should be eating in your quotes, but sometimes that's not possible. So it's finding the balance. But it comes back to tuning in and listening to your body. What does my body need? Not what does my mind think that the body wants, because it's craving. What does my body need? So that's something that we go into in the Heal and Regrow coaching program. And it's something that I'm very passionate about and I want to start speaking more about, because for a long time, I just didn't dismiss nutrition. I already ate the way that I ate, and I didn't think that I needed to share information with other people. But when I post about my food on my email list every Saturday, I do a Saturday Kitchen, which is an email with the most recent recipe that I have tried or one of my favourite foods at the moment, so that I'm sharing that with people to hopefully inspire them. Those go out as a social media post and into my email list. And they're the ones that get the most response. Those are the ones that people really engage with. So I'm going to start talking and sharing more about the food and the health benefits of it, because food is really important. If you want to get onto my email list, I will put how you do that into the show notes. And if you can't find that link, send me a message on whatever social media platform that you're on, and I will get you added to the list so that you can get that. So on Saturday, it's Saturday Kitchen. On Monday, it's Movement Monday, so I give you a top tip for some mobility. And on Wednesday, it's Wellbeing Wednesday, talking about wellbeing, why wellbeing is important for you, different methodologies of tapping into wellbeing to help you feel better and amazing. So if you want to know any more about that, please do get in touch with me. So remember to like, share, subscribe, follow, whatever it is you're doing on whatever platform it is that you're on. If this information or if information in this has been useful, then please do send it on to people who find it useful. If you're on a platform that allows you to give a rating, a star rating, that would be super beneficial to me as well. Not for my ego, so much a little bit for my ego, but more for the algorithms and how social media manipulates us into having to do certain things if we want to be seen. That's the toxic world that we live in, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, I am grateful to social media and all the other platforms, because that's how you're connecting with me right now. And I'm going to sign off for now. I will be back with some other ramblings very soon.